from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Here we go.
Back to more Chris Goforth.
You will be shocked.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth in for this 5 o'clock hour, final go round for me. Glad to have you with us on this Saturday afternoon. A lot still to get to. We'll talk a little NASCAR. Jeff Striegel will join us from Chicago, where the NASCAR Cup Series race tomorrow, the street race from Chicago. I think that's a pretty neat event. So we'll talk about that with Jeff coming up here in just a few minutes. Continue to take your thoughts on the Falcons and whether or not they did enough this offseason. Again, that's a very open-ended question. So you can make the determination of what is enough in your eyes. Hit us up on X at 929 The Game. You can find me at Chris Goforth 1. Our guy Mike Conti, Dom, is he is taunting me. He is posting pictures of eating an In-N-Out burger while on the road with Atlanta United. They're playing tonight in Utah, and Mike Conti is eating at In-N-Out Burger. I am lobbying for him and Jason to smuggle a good bag of In-N-Out Burgers back to Atlanta for me. I need that.
When are they going to put one here? I feel like they're slowly but surely starting to put some of those other fast food joints here. When are we going to get one of those?
So I had heard that they were bringing the first one in the, I think they're in Texas. The first one that was going to go in the Southeast was actually, and I think was in the Nashville area. So if that's true, that's wonderful. Atlanta kind of would make the most sense to go to next. I am a, like, that is my place, man.
I've never had In-N-Out, unfortunately.
It's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Love In-N-Out. It is worth the hassles of flying out west and the, you know, 4-hour plane flight to LA or whatever it is. I don't care. And it's to the point. So my daughter, my youngest, she is also in Utah. She's not there traveling with Atlanta United, but she's actually flying home tomorrow. But my daughter is, she landed last Sunday in Utah. And that was the first stop, was to In-N-Out Burger. And she mocked me by taking a picture of it and sending it to me of her at In-N-Out Burger with her burger. And I have begged her to grab me an In-N-Out Burger, put it in her backpack, and bring it home tomorrow. So we'll see if it makes it back here. I have hope. She's actually in Vegas today. And there is, she's 15. I have no idea what she's doing in Vegas, but she's with a group. They're good, but she is, I'm sure she is trying to find her way to an In-N-Out today, because that is her. When we travel, like, we've been to Vegas, and she's been to California a couple of times. We go to Southern California. That is, like, that kid will eat 3 times a day at In-N-Out Burger. She loves it that much.
I get it.
So, anyway, Conti's rubbing it in that he's having in an out burger a couple of hours ago. All right, that's again, take your thoughts on the Falcons. Did they do enough? You can hit us up on X at 929 the game, at Crisco41. That's where you can find me. Braves have now lost 28 in a row when their opponents score four runs or more. Phillies won last night 8-6. Braves hit a solo home run, a two-run homer, and a three-run homer, and they still lost. I'm glad to see those bats come alive a little bit last night. I was glad, you know, glad to see them put six runs on the board. Max Fried did not have a good night last night. 11 hits, I think, in six innings for and five earned runs for Fried. Bullpen was not good last night. The defense was terrible. The Braves made three errors. This has been, I think, without question, the most frustrating Braves season to watch in a long time. Something's just not right about this team, and it's real easy to point at, well, the best pitcher in Spencer Strider, he's gone for the year. You've lost your best hitter in Ronald Acuna being gone for the year. You know, I talked a lot, I guess it was last weekend or maybe two weekends ago, about the – I think it was last weekend – about the injuries in baseball. Everybody is dealing with injuries right now. The Phillies have got guys out. They're dealing with injuries. Everybody has got it right now in baseball. Losing Ronald Acuna, losing Spencer Strider, it stinks. But that can't be the excuse. Again, this lineup is too good not to be able to produce and to produce consistently. This team is flat. I really don't know any other way to describe it other than they're just flat. Maybe not having Strider and Acuna, two guys, especially Ronald Acuna, who is such an emotional leader on this team. There just doesn't feel like there's any sense of urgency or spark at all in this Braves lineup. And, taking Ronald Acuna out, you're talking about removing one of the best guys in baseball. That's a negative for sure. You know, we were talking about this last night. I was here last night, Orrin and I. We're working on Friday night, and Chris Clark reached out to me on Twitter, and he said, you know, the big losses that aren't being talked about are Ron Washington and Eric Young. And I think Chris makes a very valid point. Washington in particular, definitely a player's coach, if there is such a thing in baseball. He was the guy that, you know, wasn't afraid to go chew a guy out when he needed to. But he was also somebody that the players listened to. By all accounts, he kept things loose. And for a young team that the Braves have been these last couple of years with so many young players, Wash was just, I mean, he was that, you know, father figure, uncle figure, whatever role you want to cast him in as a mentor. And maybe he was a bigger force behind the Braves' success these last couple of years. I don't think it's all Washington and Eric Young being gone, just like I don't think it's all Acuna and Strider being injured either. But the idea that it's a combination of those four things, maybe there's something there. There's just a lot of emotion that has been removed out of this Braves dugout and clubhouse. And it's been frustrating to watch. I mean, here we are. It's the 4th of July or 4th of July weekend, and you're now 10 games behind the Phillies. And the Phillies have got a chance now the next 2 days, tonight and then tomorrow, to stretch that lead out even more. And I was the guy that sat here on the weekend, the last couple of months, and it said, nah, we don't need to panic about the Braves. I'm not going to panic about the Braves. I'm not to that point yet with them. I still think this is a team that should make the playoffs as a wild card team. I don't know that I've got a lot of hope anymore about winning a division. Maybe I have become very pessimistic about the Braves. But I want to point out, this is a team that still, given that lineup, should still be a postseason team. But you look at that wild card race right now. You've got the Padres, who the Braves are about to take on in San Diego here before the break, and St. Louis both closing in on the Braves for that top wild card spot. And then you've got the Giants that are only three games back. You know, you go back 3 months ago, I would have said then that it's World Series or bust for this team. And seeing how the first half of the season has played out, my expectations are now a little bit lower. I still think they're a postseason team. I'm not sure how long they hang around in October. After the final game of this homestand tomorrow against the Phillies, the Braves go on the road to finish off the first half of the season. You've got Arizona, you've got San Diego. The Padres have started to figure some things out a little bit. They're playing about as well as any team in baseball, certainly any team in the National League right now. They've won 8 out of their last 10 coming into today. They're, again, I mentioned it, they're right behind the Braves in those wild card standings. You don't think there won't be some focus and extra incentive going into that series for San Diego? You know, I had high hopes 4 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, for this series with the Braves and the Phillies that's happening right now. And I think that's what made last night just kind of a, well, the disappointment isn't necessarily the loss. The disappointment comes in the fact that you're now 10 games back. And when I think about baseball, I think there's a couple of, like, check-in points in the season. Memorial Day is one at the end of May. The 4th of July is one. The next one we're going to be the trade deadline at the end of July. And then we're going to look at Labor Day in September, heading into that final month of the season. I don't feel good right now. Again, this has been a very frustrating team to watch. It's a hard team to watch. And I think the scary part of this as a Braves fan is I can't sit here today and be confident that this team is suddenly going to turn it around in the second half of the season. You know, again, 6 weeks ago, I had high hopes for this series with the Phillies because I thought, hey, look, the Braves had come off that really rough stretch where they played so many games on the road. And, okay, they're finally coming back. They're going to get home. They're going to, you know, you just win series, right? You don't have to win. You don't have to put together a 15-game win streak or anything like that. It's baseball. That doesn't happen. But what you can do is just win series. That's how the Phillies have done it. The Phillies have, to me, that's an okay team on paper that has just played amazingly well. I mean, they have gotten phenomenal pitching. The bullpen has been terrific. But when you look at it on paper, they're good, but they don't exactly bowl you over. But what they have done, you go back to that. Remember, these two teams started the season against each other back in April. The Braves won that series against the Phillies. Since that time, the Phillies have only lost 5 series since then. That's how you win in baseball. It's not about throwing some big winning streak together. It's about just taking care of each series and trying to win each series. That was the point that I've been was trying to make here 4 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. You don't have to go on some torrid pace if you're the Braves. Just start winning series. And you know what? They go to New York, they take the series from the Yankees, and you think, okay, all right, here we go. And then it's just that there's no, absolute no consistency with what this team is. And I think the frustrating part is, too, where is that spark, that fire that we have gotten so accustomed to seeing from the Braves over the years? We don't have that right now. We're not getting that right now from this team. So, again, and I probably am more emotionally connected with the Braves than probably any other, even more so than the Falcons. Probably have more of an emotional connection with the Braves because I've been a Braves fan so long, from the horrendous 80s or mid to late 80s when they were bad, early 80s they were good, mid to late 80s they were bad, and then the 90s were amazing, even though it was only one World Series. And then there was the little bit of the downturn. And then the Braves kind of started this current run that they've been on that has resulted in another World Series. And through all of that, again, now there was some lean years there, what, 2011, 2012, you know, there the times were, it was, you know, actually what we're talking about there, 2014, 2015, 2016, somewhere around in there, the Freddy Gonzalez era when the Braves needed some help. And they kind of had to tear this thing down, and they started over again, and it's paid off. But it's just gotten with this group this year, for whatever reason, whether that's Washington and Young being gone, Strider and Acuna being hurt, I think maybe it's a combination of all of that. But it's just been really, really painful to watch this team. All right, we come back. Jeff Striegel from the Motor Racing Network, he is going to be with us. We're going to preview the NASCAR race tomorrow. They're racing on the streets of Chicago this weekend. We'll get to that as we continue. Chris Goforth hanging out with you here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and always on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
To more Chris Goforth.
What are you doing this weekend?
Talking all things Atlanta sports on the weekend.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's head out on the WadeFord.com hotline. We welcome in Jeff Striegel. Jeff is one of the voices of NASCAR for the Motor Racing Network, and he's kind enough to spend a few minutes with us. Talk about what I think is it has become one of the events on the sports calendar. It's the street race that takes place in Chicago, and it's happening on Sunday. Weather was an issue in this race last year. Jeff, is there any concern for Sunday and what it may look like in the Windy City?
Well, I don't think so, Chris, and good morning to you. I don't think so. I live straight across the lake from where I'm getting ready to head here in about, as soon as we get done with this, I'm heading over there. You know, I've been watching it all week. There's a chance we could get some rain, Chris, but I don't think we are going to be subject to anything at all like we faced 1 year ago.
It's a 2.2-mile course. How is it different from last year's course, or is it?
Well, I think the only thing that's going to make it different is the fact that we're not going to get 8 inches of rain.
Yeah.
The course doesn't change. But, you know, it's interesting that you asked that question because, you know, the weather is what faced those drivers every day. So realistically, you know, I mean, I really like that question. Realistically, it's kind of a new course to the drivers because they didn't get a chance to spend much time on a dry 12-turn racetrack in downtown Chicago last year. What they faced was an animal, you know, of constant rain and precipitation, racing in the wet. So, I mean, realistically, it will be, even though it's the same exact track, it's going to be a little bit new to these drivers.
Talking NASCAR and the street race happening this weekend in Chicago, Jeff Striegel, one of the voices of NASCAR on the Motor Racing Network. Joey Logano last week said the Chicago race is a headache in a bottle. TV ratings say the fans love this thing, Jeff. Do the drivers like this?
I think they do. You know what? I like it when the drivers complain like that. I mean, I like it when they complain about the car. I like it when they complain about the track. I like it when they complain about the weather. And the reason why is really simple. When the drivers aren't happy, that means they're having to work at their job. When it becomes easy, you know, you and I are never going to drive a cup car. We get it. But there are times when, you know, NASCAR has brought a car to the track that's easy to drive. When they're laying down the residue, the rosin, you know, up in the corners to make it tackier, to make it easier. Nobody likes that. We shouldn't like that as a fan. I want them to be dissatisfied with something. I want to see them have to work at it. All right, that being said, the drivers do like going to downtown Chicago because I think every one of them likes to be challenged, and this street course in downtown Chicago is going to do exactly that.
Does Chicago want this race, Jeff? I've seen some talk that maybe, you know, they have a new mayor, that maybe they might look to not renew the agreement. What do you think the future of it is in Chicago?
Well, I'm going to answer that question very honestly. I'll tell you this. I don't know. I'm going to give you my opinion. That's all I can do because I don't know. I don't think it's long for down there, but I also think that that is part of NASCAR's plan. What they have down there, Chris, is so unique. That is a street course that really can be loaded on the back of flatbeds and taken anywhere in this country. We could go to Miami. We could go to New York. We could go to Dallas. We could go back out to California. We could take it anywhere. That is almost like Lego blocks. It is designed to come apart and go together very easily. All right, so that being said, I do think NASCAR would like to make this a traveling road show. That being said, 4th of July weekend, smack dab downtown Chicago around Grant Park is... That's a challenge for those people down there. There's no doubt about it. I'm going to be challenged trying to get in there myself, just trying to get to the hotel. You know, Lakeshore Drive right there is one of the busiest streets in downtown Chicago, especially this time of year. They shut it down so they can run race cars. So, you know, you do the math. I think that this is, let's do this and see how it goes. And then I think they pack it up and they take their little project and they go somewhere else.
Jeff Striegel, Motor Racing Network, hanging with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We talk about NASCAR this weekend, racing in downtown Chicago. Jeff, I was glued to this thing last year, rain and all. I thought it was I thought it was fun. There was a little bit of drama that was involved in it last year. Is there any chance NASCAR looks at this and goes, you talk about them taking it to different parts of the country. Is there a chance that NASCAR looks at this and goes, maybe we got something here. Maybe we do this twice a year now, and we put it in two different cities. Could you see that, or is the idea of making it a one-time thing every year, you don't want to maybe lose some of the, I hate to call it a novelty, but you don't want to lose some of the novelty of it if you do it too often. Where do you think NASCAR stands in terms of more than one street course race in a year?
Man, you're a smart man, Chris. I'll give you my thought on that. So let's go back. You remember when we ran road courses twice a year, you know, Laguna Seca and Watkins Glen? Remember how we only ran twice?
Yeah.
What do we have now? You know, we were running the Charlotte Roval, and we've got COTA, and we've got Chicago. There are rumors we're going to be on another road course next year. I mean, I've heard rumor that we are probably could, you know, there's a good chance we're going to be going outside of the country. Let's just leave it at that because it's a rumor and I hate rumors. I do think that NASCAR schedule is going to be out sooner than later. I think it could be out in a matter of a couple of weeks. All right. So to answer your question, when you take a look at where NASCAR has gone, this is good, bad, or otherwise, we're going to have some hardcore NASCAR fans listening to us right now going, please tell me they're never going to go to another road course again. Well, I think we got to be realist, and it does appear as though NASCAR over the years has gone from 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 to 6. What's that trend telling us? Good, bad, or otherwise, they may very well be looking at enhancing their overall road course, street course portion of the schedule. Yes, I think it's very much possible to see more than what we're just seeing right now.
Shane Van Gensbergen from New Zealand. He won this race last year. First time ever racing in a NASCAR event was last year in the street race in Chicago. He wins. He's made the adjustment now coming from New Zealand and racing as part of NASCAR now. How has that transition gone for him this season after having that immediate success last year?
Well, he has made the transition, Chris, and he's done a very nice job of it. He is always going to be exceptional in situations like we have this weekend. There's no doubt. He still needs to learn Daytona. He still needs to learn Talladega and Michigan and Martinsville and Richmond and so on. But, you know, this is just a talented race car driver. And, you know, I'm going to take it one step further, Chris, if you don't mind. He's made the transition to NASCAR. Now the question is, has the NASCAR drivers made the transition to Shane Van Gisbergen? Mm-hmm. He took them to school last year, you know, almost to a point of embarrassment. You come onto our property, you get into the car for the first time, you go out and whip 37 other drivers. My point here is this: if Joey Logano, if Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch have not gone to school, not studied tape, not been in the simulator, not looking at data to figure out how he was entering and exiting corners, you can see where he gets on the brake, you can see where he picks up the throttle, you can track every line he made on that course. He schooled them last year. Question is, who went to work and did their homework and is now prepared to go toe-to-toe with them? If they didn't, Shane Van Gisbergen is going to win again. I mean, that's just all there is to it. But I would say not so fast, because I think in that one race, that one guy made 37 other drivers a whole lot better.
Jeff Striegel, Motor Racing Network. We're talking NASCAR here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Chicago Street Race coming up. Look, you referenced kind of his dominance in this race last year, and the fact that there were several drivers last year, and a few have mentioned it again this year about the guy made us look bad last year, the way he was able to step in. What's the difference, Jeff, when you talk to these drivers? Is it the number of turns they're having to navigate on a street course like this? Where's the trip up spots for these guys?
You mean when you go 37 against one, how is it different? I mean, let's make sure that we understand that I do think Kyle Larson, let's use him now, put him to Shane Van Gisbergen. Kyle Larson is one of the top three, four, five most talented race car drivers on the planet right now. That's my opinion. Now, Kyle Larson drives a wing sprint car on an oval on dirt. He'll drive an outlaw late model on an oval on dirt. He runs NASCAR ovals 90% of the time. That's how he grew up. That's what he knows. Don't get in the car next to him because he will whip you. All right, now we look at Shane Van Gisbergen real quickly. He grew up as a kid running road courses. He's been taught by the best. He's learned by the best. He's honed his craft. He's arguably one of the best drivers on the planet when it comes to negotiating a road course. That's all he knows. That's all he's ever done. So you put those two guys together on a 12-turn downtown Chicago street course and go, okay, you two go at it. Shane's going to kill him. And he did. So, you know, now it's a matter of how much did Kyle do in the offseason in preparation. You and I both know, and the fans know, these drivers can get into simulators. They can work this 12-turn road course. Is it the exact same thing as being out there in the car? No, of course not. But they can practice and practice. And when you're done practicing, guess what? You're going to practice some more. So, you know, that's why Shane is so good. That's what he grew up in. If you took Shane, real quickly, Chris, if you took Shane and put him in a dirt wing sprint car and, you know, put him on a track somewhere in, you know, central Tennessee and line him up against Kyle Larson, Kyle would lap him in a matter of, you know, 10 laps. Because that's where he grew up. And right now we're going into, you know, Shane's playground, and we'll see how it all shakes out on Sunday.
So is he your favorite now going into this? Shane, you got to be the favorite again?
Yeah, I think he has to be. I think, you know, until you beat him, you have to look at him as being the odds-on favorite. I think there are others that are going to contend, but you know, if you said, here's $1 million, go put it on the number that you want, it's going to be on Shane's number, no doubt.
Jeff Striegel, Motor Racing Network. Jeff's going to be a fun weekend, man. Look forward to it. Look forward to listening to you guys have the call. And, again, this is one of those, man, this brings me to the radio, brings me to the TV for this race. I think it's one of the coolest things in sports. So enjoy it this weekend, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Well, one of the coolest things is joining you, Chris, and your fans. Thank you, and thank you to the loyal NASCAR fans that tune in and listen to us each weekend. Chris, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Thank you very much. Jeff Striegel, Motor Racing Network. He's been hanging with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's Chris Gofor.
Keeping you up to date all weekend long.
This is going to be the best weekend ever!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Gofor in. Wrapping it up on this Saturday afternoon. It's been good. Appreciate Eric Slaughter getting us started today. Thanks to Dom for coming in and kind of finishing things up today. Thanks to all of you that have been with us today, whether you've been here for a little while or a long while. Appreciate you. And also thanks to our guest, Jeff Striegel, Motor Racing Network. Are you a NASCAR guy, Dom? Do you pay any attention to it at all?
I cannot say that I am. I am not.
I can't say that I'm very much of a fan. I will admit, though, that street race in Chicago last year, even though the weather was terrible, I mean, you heard Jeff talk about the 8 inches of rain they got last year, but it was pretty freaking cool. I mean, it was pretty cool to watch. So I plan on watching it again. I didn't get a chance to watch any of it today, but I will try to make it a point to try to watch some of that tomorrow, because it's pretty neat. So thanks to Jeff for being with us. Thanks to Will Miles from readandreaction.com for hanging out for a bit. Stone Hansen, the Upside Swings podcast, talked a little NBA with him. And then Howard Balzer, who is the editor of Lindy's Pro Football Preview magazine that's out and available on the newsstand now. Howard gave us some time earlier today as well. So appreciate those that were with us. All right. Wrapping it up, we go off the rails. Couple of kooky stories. Dom, are you a live music guy?
Yeah. Yeah, I like live
to go
music.
See? Yeah, me too. And as I have tried to make more of an effort to go these last couple of years, especially coming out of COVID when everything started to open back up again, I have tried to make an effort for the last couple of years to go see more shows in person, whether it's just, you know, local artist, you know, theater shows, club shows, big, you know, arena type shows, stadium shows, whatever. Just try to get more into that. I used to go a lot before my kids were born. You know, going to see 20, 30 shows a year wasn't out of the question for me. You have kids, life changes. You know, now if I could go once a month, I'd be happy. That's probably not going to happen. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be 3-4 times a year for me. But I am trying to do better about getting out there again. The one thing that I got to admit kind of annoys me a little bit about going to a concert now is freaking camera phones. So you go now and you're trying to watch the show, and used to, you know, it would be people with their hands in the air, you know, throwing up the devil horns, whatever. Now, you know, and that was fine. But now it's like this sea of screens when you go to a show. Busta Rhymes was performing at the Essence Festival last night in New Orleans. And Busta Rhymes, I guess, is not a big fan of all of the camera phones out there either. He said, blank them camera phones. Let's get back to interacting as humans. Put them weird-ass devices down. I ain't from that era. Them blanks don't control us. Blank your phone. Now, this is reported by the New York Post, but the and somebody that was at the show said that it was, you know, he wasn't necessarily being mean about how he was doing it, that it was right. was kind of funny, and that he put on a great show. But I think there's something to be said that Busta Rhymes was trying to throw up his, you know, he was just trying to point something out, and I think he makes a really good point. I don't know it from the performer standpoint, but I can tell you from the a person in the audience standpoint. In the last show I went to, it was in a small club, and I was in the back, so to speak. And I'm trying to watch the show, and you can't see the stage. Instead, I end up watching it off of the camera phone of somebody's screen that was, I don't know, probably 15 feet in front of me, holding their daggum phone up in the air, along with the other 400 people that had phones up in the air.
It's just, you know what it is about those situations? I'm all for, you know, taking a photo, taking a quick video or something, but like, what's the point of having your phone up for the entire show?
Does your arm not get tired? What kind of workouts are you doing at Planet Fitness to be able to hold your arm up that long?
For that long. But also, it's like, you paid all this money to come see them, and like, you spent the entire time looking at the show through your phone.
See, like, that's, I'll tell you now, and I'm of a different generation than you, Dom. And, you know, I remember paying like $22 for a concert ticket in the 90s and just thinking, oh, you know, when I was in high school, you know, typically concert tickets were $15, $16, $17, $18. I remember when they got up over 20 bucks. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is so expensive. You know, now people pay, you're paying several hundred dollars. I mean, my wife took my daughter to see Taylor Swift at Mercedes-Benz, and I don't even want to get into how much money we paid for those tickets. I'd be embarrassed to tell you. But back in my day, I had a lot of friends that would absolutely get tore up at a concert. And I guarantee you, I've got one buddy of mine that he and I together in our friend group as late teens, early 20s, we probably went, I don't know, 10, 15 concerts together. That guy, I guarantee you, he can't remember a single one of them because he was absolutely wasted. And I would always think that, man, I get you want to go, you want to have a good time, but holy cow, dude, like, you know, I'm not, especially as much as concert tickets cost today.
Yeah.
I'm not going to drop that kind of cash on something and then
just to black out and not remember it.
Yeah. That's amazing to me that even back then, even again, you know, in the 90s things, man, 20 bucks a ticket. I'm like, good Lord, you know, it's 40 bucks for me and my girlfriend to go. And that was, you know, and Ticketmaster had their ridiculous charges back then too. So, but yeah, that's I've never understood that, and I'll tell you, the God bless Busta Rhymes, because I agree with him. Put those phones down when you go to a show. Again, if you want to take a picture, that's fine, but you don't need to have your stinking phone held up the entire time during a show. So anyway, that's my old man rant for the day. Let's get to some other stuff here. How about, speaking of old men, how about this old lady? She's 100 years old. She's in New Jersey. Her name is Miriam Todd. She's 100 years old, still works 50 hours a week, Dom. 6 days a week in a family furniture store, 50 hours a week. She still drives at 100, still works, obviously, still cooks. She lives with her son. Still does all of her daily, you know, her daily things that that she does. She says she avoids fast food and fried foods, stays away from alcohol. She munches on plenty of vegetables. And she says something my mom used to always say all the time, make sure your plate has a lot of color on it. And she says her plates are always multicolored. That's what my mom used to always say. You want to have, you know, have a little green, have a little yellow. Yeah, you can have a little brown and a little white on there, but you better have some greens, maybe a little orange. You got to have a lot of color on your plate.
Yeah.
So if you want to know about living to 100, and it's also the point that she says that, said, I don't see how people could retire at 60. She said, I just don't think I would be happy being retired and sitting at home. She does not own a credit card. She said if she could give advice to young people, it would be save money. So pay attention, Dom. Save your money. She said if I could get young people to be thinking more about saving instead of spending with a credit card. So there you have it. Little life advice from a great-great-grandmother who is 100 and is working 6 days a week, putting in 50 hours a week.
Good for her. Lord knows I wouldn't be working if I was 100.
No, I would.
I feel like I've made it to 100. I've earned the right to just do nothing.
Yeah, but I tell you though, because see, my mom, and mom's been gone almost 4 years now. My mom was 80. She would have been, if she was still alive, she would be 90 in a couple of weeks. August 1st was her birthday. Mom was 86 when she passed, and my mom was still working, still driving. She had a heart episode while washing her car at the car wash. But part of it, and my mom always said, and she had worked her whole life. She worked in a, you know, for years and years and years in a carpet mill. And hard work, you know, 12-hour shifts, concrete floors. You know, my mom went through it to, you know, make sure I had, you know, a clean pair of Levi's and a decent looking shirt to wear to school. But, you know, mom always said, she goes, if I stop, son, I think I'd die. You know, I just I'm not programmed that way. I got to go to work. I got to have something to do. And she was a substitute school teacher. For the last, she retired at 66, right after my dad passed. She retired at 66 and spent the last basically 20 years of her life as a substitute school teacher. And the kids freaking loved her. You know, we had about, this was in COVID, mom passed. Mm-hmm. We had about, this is a small high school. It's where I grew up and where I went to high school at, probably, you know, 500 kids. But they had 200 and something kids that signed out of school and showed up at her graveside service.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah. But no, but I mean, that was that. I think there's a lot of people of that generation. And I think I'm a little bit like that, man. I have slowed down a little bit. You go back 2 years ago, somebody asked me a couple of weeks ago on Twitter, they said, man, I don't hear you much on 92.9 anymore during the summer. And I'm like, well, I've kind of dialed it back a little bit. A couple of years ago, I mean, I was working at like 100 and I think I worked 137 out of 140 days at one point. And it's like, you know, at some point in time, you just got to start to, you got to try to dial it back a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's hard, man, because I have learned I am very antsy. And I have a hard time like relaxing. Like I need something to do.
You gotta find something.
Like the whole idea, I'm just gonna sit in the recliner and watch TV. I mean, I'm good for about 30 or 45 minutes. During football season, I can make it through a game. All right. I can make it through a Braves game a couple of nights a week, maybe. That's pushing it. But I gotta get up and go, man. I can't sit still. It's just, and I'm not ADHD or anything like that. At least I don't think I am. I just can't. I just have a hard time settling down for whatever the reason is. Speaking of, one last little bit here. Have you seen, you know who Maurkice Pouncey is, right?
Of course.
That's right. You're a Steeler fan, right?
Yes, sir.
Maurkice Pouncey played at Florida. SEC fans will remember him. Played in the NFL a long time. I am always amazed at the transformation that guys go through when they stop playing football.
Mm-hmm.
Because you work so hard, especially as an offensive lineman, to try to keep your weight up, which sounds crazy, but you know, when you work like those guys do physically, you burn a lot of calories. And so it takes effort to keep your weight up. And then these guys get out of playing ball, and so, you know, it's one of two things. You either balloon up and get fat, or you start watching what you eat, and all of a sudden, the weight starts to drop off. I tease Randy McMichael all the time. I tell him he looks more like a point guard than a tight end now, because Randy's gotten smaller. Mike Johnson's a way smaller than what he was when he played at Alabama and played with the Falcons. Maurkice Pouncey was 304 pounds when he played with the Steelers. Have you seen these pictures of him?
Yeah. Looking pretty slim.
Wow. Like, he doesn't even look like the same guy, man.
That's what happens.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Chris Gofor.
Keeping you up to date all weekend long.
This is going to be the best weekend ever.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth in. Wrapping it up on this Saturday afternoon. It's been good. Appreciate Eric Slaughter getting us started today. Thanks to Dom for coming in and kind of finishing things up today. Thanks to all of you that have been with us today, whether you've been here for a little while or a long while. Appreciate you. And also thanks to our guest, Jeff Striegel, Motor Racing Network. Are you a NASCAR guy, Dom? Do you pay any attention to it at all?
I cannot say that I am. I am not.
I can't say that I'm very much of a fan. I will admit, though, that street race in Chicago last year, even though the weather was terrible, I mean, you heard Jeff talk about the 8 inches of rain they got last year, but it was pretty freaking cool. I mean, it was pretty cool to watch. So I plan on watching it again. I didn't get a chance to watch any of it today, but I will try to make it a point to try to watch some of that tomorrow, because it's pretty neat. So thanks to Jeff for being with us. Thanks to Will Miles from readandreaction.com for hanging out for a bit. Stone Hansen, the Upside Swings podcast, talked a little NBA with him. And then Howard Balzer, who is the editor of Lindy's Pro Football Preview magazine that's out and available on the newsstand now. Howard gave us some time earlier today as well. So appreciate those that were with us. All right. Wrapping it up, we go off the rails. Couple of kooky stories. Dom, are you a live music guy?
Yeah. Yeah, I like live music.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And as I have tried to make more of an effort to go these last couple of years, especially coming out of COVID when everything started to open back up again, I have tried to make an effort for the last couple of years to go see more shows in person, whether it's just, you know, local artist, you know, theater shows, club shows, big, you know, arena type shows, stadium shows, whatever. Just try to get more into that. I used to go a lot before my kids were born, you know, going to see 20, 30 shows a year wasn't out of the question for me. You have kids, life changes. You know, now if I could go once a month, I'd be happy. That's probably not going to happen. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be 3-4 times a year for me. But I am trying to do better about getting out there again. The one thing that I got to admit kind of annoys me a little bit about going to a concert now is freaking camera phones. So you go now and you're trying to watch the show. And used to, you know, it would be people with their hands in the air, you know, throwing up the devil horns, whatever. Now, you know, and that was fine. But now it's like this sea of screens when you go to a show. Busta Rhymes was performing at the Essence Festival last night in New Orleans. And Busta Rhymes, I guess, is not a big fan of all of the camera phones out there either. He said, blank them camera phones. Let's get back to interacting as humans. Put them weird-ass devices down. I ain't from that era. Them blanks don't control us. Blank your phone. Now, this is reported by the New York Post. But somebody that was at the show said that it was, you know, he wasn't necessarily being mean about how he was doing it, that it was kind of funny, and that he put on a great show. But I think there's something to be said that Busta Rhymes was trying to throw up his, you know, he was just trying to point something out. And I think he makes a really good point. I don't know it from the performer standpoint. But I can tell you from a person in the audience standpoint, in the last show I went to, it was in a small club, and I was in the back, so to speak, and I'm trying to watch the show, and you can't see the stage. Instead, I end up watching it off of the camera phone of somebody's screen that was, I don't know, probably 15 feet in front of me holding their daggum phone up in the air along right. with the other 400 people that had phones up in the air.
It's just, you know what it is about those situations? I'm all for, you know, taking a photo, taking a quick video or something, but like, what's the point of having your phone up for the entire show?
Does your arm not get tired? What kind of workouts are you doing at Planet Fitness to be able to hold your arm up that long?
For that long. But also, it's like, you paid all this money to come see them, and like, you spent the entire time looking at the show through your phone.
See, like, that's, I'll tell you now, and I'm of a different generation than you, Dom. And, you know, I remember paying like $22 for a concert ticket in the 90s and just thinking, oh, you know, when I was in high school, you know, typically concert tickets were $15, $16, $17, $18. I remember when they got up over 20 bucks. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is so expensive. You know, now people pay, you're paying several hundred dollars. I mean, my wife took my daughter to see Taylor Swift at Mercedes-Benz, and I don't even want to get into how much money we paid for those tickets. I'd be embarrassed to tell you. But back in my day, I had a lot of friends that would absolutely get tore up at a concert. And I guarantee you, I've got one buddy of mine that he and I together in our friend group as late teens, early 20s, we probably went, I don't know, 10, 15 concerts together. That guy, I guarantee you, he can't remember a single one of them because he was absolutely wasted. And I would always think that, man, I get you want to go, you want to have a good time, but holy cow, dude, like, you know, I'm not, especially as much as concert tickets cost today.
Yeah.
I'm not going to drop that kind of cash on something and then
just to black out and not remember it.
Yeah. That's amazing to me that even back then, even again, you know, in the 90s, things, man, $20 a ticket. I'm like, good Lord, you know, it's $40 for me and my girlfriend to go. And that was, you know, and Ticketmaster had their ridiculous charges back then, too. So, but yeah, that's I've never understood that. And I'll tell you, the God bless Busta Rhymes, because I agree with him. Put those phones down when you go to a show. Again, if you want to take a picture, that's fine. But you don't need to have your stinking phone held up the entire time during a show. So anyway, that's my old man rant for the day. Let's get to some other stuff here. How about, speaking of old men, how about this old lady? She's 100 years old. She's in New Jersey. Her name is Miriam Todd. She's 100 years old, still works 50 hours a week, Dom. 6 days a week in a family furniture store, 50 hours a week. She still drives at 100, still works, obviously, still cooks. She lives with her son, still does all of her daily, you know, her daily things that she does. She says she avoids fast food and fried foods, stays away from alcohol. She munches on plenty of vegetables. And she says something my mom used to always say all the time, make sure your plate has a lot of color on it. And she says her plates are always multicolored. That's what my mom used to always say. You want to have a little green, have a little yellow. Yeah, you can have a little brown and a little white on there, but you better have some greens, maybe a little orange. You got to have a lot of color on your plate. Yeah. So if you want to know about living to 100, and it's also the point that she says that, said, I don't see how people could retire at 60. She said, I just don't think I would be happy being retired and sitting at home. She does not own a credit card. She said if she could give advice to young people, it would be save money. So pay attention, Dom. Save your money. She said if I could get young people to be thinking more about saving instead of spending with a credit card. So there you have it. Little life advice from a great-great-grandmother who is 100 and is working 6 days a week. Putting in 50 hours a week.
Good for her. Lord knows I wouldn't be working if I was 100.
No, I would.
I feel like I've made it to 100. I've earned the right to just do nothing.
Yeah, but I tell you though, because see, my mom, and mom's been gone almost 4 years now. My mom was 80. She would have been, if she was still alive, she would be 90 in a couple of weeks. August 1st was her birthday. Mom was 86 when she passed. And my mom was still working, still driving. She had a heart episode while washing her car at the car wash. But part of it, and my mom always said, and she had worked her whole life. She worked in a, you know, for years and years and years in a carpet mill and hard work, you know, 12-hour shifts, concrete floors. You know, my mom went through it to, you know, make sure I had, you know, a clean pair of Levi's and a decent looking shirt to wear to school. But, you know, mom always said, she goes, if I stop, son, I think I'd die. You know, I just I'm not programmed that way. I got to go to work. I got to have something to do. And she was a substitute school teacher for the last, she retired at 66, right after my dad passed. She retired at 66 and spent the last basically 20 years of her life as a substitute school teacher. And the kids freaking loved her. You know, we had about, this was in COVID. Mom passed. Mm-hmm. We had about, this is a small high school. It's where I grew up and where I went to high school at, probably, you know, 500 kids. But they had 200 and something kids that signed out of school and showed up at her graveside service.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah. But no, but I mean, that was that. I think there's a lot of people of that generation. And I think I'm a little bit like that, man. I, you know, and I have slowed down a little bit. You go back 2 years ago, somebody asked me a couple of weeks ago on Twitter, they said, man, I don't hear you much on 92.9 anymore during the summer. And I'm like, well, I've kind of dialed it back a little bit. A couple of years ago, I mean, I was working at like 100 and I think I worked 137 out of 140 days at one point. And it's like, you know, at some point in time, you just got to start to, you got to try to dial it back a little
bit. Yeah.
But it's hard, man, because I have learned I am very antsy. And I have a hard time like relaxing. Like I need something to do.
You gotta find something.
Like the whole idea, I'm just gonna sit in the recliner and watch TV. I mean, I'm good for about 30 or 45 minutes. During football season, I can make it through a game. All right. I can make it through a Braves game a couple of nights a week, maybe. That's pushing it. But I gotta get up and go, man. I can't sit still. It's just, and I'm not ADHD or anything like that. At least I don't think I am. I just can't. I just have a hard time settling down for whatever the reason is. Speaking of, one last little bit here. Have you seen? You know who Marquise Pouncey is, right?
Of course.
That's right. You're a Steeler fan, right?
Yes, sir.
Marquise Pouncey played at Florida. SEC fans will remember him. Played in the NFL a long time. I am always amazed at the transformation that guys go through when they stop playing football.
Mm-hmm.
Because you work so hard, especially as an offensive lineman, to try to keep your weight up, which sounds crazy, but you know, when you work like those guys do physically, you burn a lot of calories. And so it takes effort to keep your weight up. And then these guys get out of playing ball. And so, you know, it's one of two things. You either balloon up and get fat, or you start watching what you eat, and all of a sudden the weight starts to drop off. I tease Randy McMichael all the time. I tell him he looks more like a point guard than a tight end now, because Randy's gotten smaller. Mike Johnson's a way smaller than what he was when he played at Alabama and played with the Falcons. Marquise Pouncey was 304 pounds when he played with the Steelers. Have you seen these pictures of him?
Yeah. Looking pretty slim.
Wow. Like, he doesn't even look like the same guy, man.
That's what happens. Like, for a lot of offensive linemen specifically, like I said, like, they're only that big because they're keeping up the weight for their position. So, like, a lot of them, as soon as they retire, within, like, 6 months to a year of them being retired, they've dropped, like, 30 pounds just because they're not even going through the whole process anymore.
He is so freaking skinny. I mean, I don't know what he looks like he's about $175 now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, he does not, and I'm sure he's probably a little bigger than that, but holy smokes, does Marquise Pouncey look way different today than what he did as a player. Anyway, I just wanted to, if you haven't seen that, Le'Veon Bell and some other guys have posted pictures, and you can find Pouncey. He's on the social medias if you want to check him out. All right, that's going to wrap it up for me today. Thanks for thanks to everybody that participated. Thanks to those of you that joined us either through X or you called in. Glad to have you along. I'll be back again next Sunday, kind of back to my regular routine here. Back with you on Sunday afternoon for a couple hours next week. Keep it right here, though. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.